Good morning, friends. Welcome to morning worship. And apologies about the difficulty with the printing this morning. We're having to use hymn books instead of the usual leaflet. And most of the hymns are available in the hymn book we used to call, and still do call, CH3. We open our worship with hymn number 160 from there, Hark the Glad Sound. 160. Prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Let us pray. Almighty God, you are greater than all the powers and persons of this world, greater than all the great names of past and present. We worship you, the Creator God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God forever. Lord, you have made light to shine out of darkness, not only in the original creation of the world, not only in today's daylight which follows yesterday's night, but in the light of the world which dawns in people's hearts through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Help us in every sense to be children of the light, and be present in our worship. Lord God, when your Son Jesus Christ came to this world, it was to a world blundering in the darkness of ignorance and sin. When he comes into our lives, it is into lives which are clouded and besmirched with the trappings of this world. We get our scale of values wrong and place importance on the wrong things. We live as though we ourselves were the center, instead of making Jesus Christ the center of our life. We receive your gifts and yet fail to make the best use of them in daily life. We call ourselves Christians, but we so often forsake the Lord and flee, as did his first disciples, when the going is tough. Forgive our failures, Lord, and help us to find it in our hearts to forgive others. Take possession and control of our lives so that we may more truly represent the Lord Jesus Christ in all that we do. May yours be the Spirit which gives meaning and purpose to our life through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. We welcome the people of the Jesus and Me Club to the church this morning. And Mrs. Louisa Chittum is here to present their presentation to us. Now, thank you.
Right, sorry about that. This month we have been talking about God's armour, the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the shoes of peace, the sword of the Spirit, the helmet of salvation, and the shield of faith. And they're now going to sing the two songs that they've been practicing.
Church is not a building, the church.
Thank you, Mrs. Chisholm and the young people. Now, our next hymn from CH3 is number 230, When Jesus Saw the Fisherman. 230. We read God's word in the Old Testament, the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 49, at verse 1. Isaiah, chapter 49, at verse 1. Listen to me, you islands. Hear this, you distant nations. Before I was born, the Lord called me. From my birth, he has made mention of my name. He made my mouth like a sharpened sword. In the shadow of his hand he hid me. He made me into a polished arrow and concealed me in his quiver. He said to me, "You are my servant, Israel, in whom I will display my splendor." But I said, "I have labored to no purpose. I have spent my strength in vain and for nothing. Yet what is due to me is the Lord's hand, and my reward is with my God." And now the Lord says, "He who formed me in the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him and gather Israel to himself. For I am honored in the eyes of the Lord, and my God has been my strength." He says, "It is too small a thing for you to be my servant, to restore the tribes of Jacob and bring back those of Israel I have kept. I will also make you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring my salvation to the ends of the earth." This is what the Lord says, the Redeemer and Holy One of Israel, to him who was despised and abhorred by the nation, to the servant of rulers, kings will see you and rise up, princes will see and bow down, because of the Lord who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel, who has chosen you. And in the New Testament, John's Gospel, chapter 1, and verse 35. John chapter 1, verse 35. The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning round, Jesus saw them following and asked, "What do you want?" They said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" "Come," he replied, "and you will see." So they went and saw where he was staying and spent that day with him. It was about the 10th hour. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah, that is the Christ." And he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. you will be called Cephas, which when translated is Peter. And the Lord bless to us the reading of his holy word, and to his name be the glory and the praise. Next hymn from CH3, number 211, Jesus Calls Us. 211. John's Gospel, chapter 1, at verse 41. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah," and he brought him to Jesus. It is always a privilege for a minister to conduct worship for a congregation. The outstanding privilege is to conduct worship on Easter Sunday, and I have often said so. I said so to John Lafferty immediately before he entered this church to conduct what turned out to be his last Easter Sunday service. And he agreed with me that it was a privilege that no minister should take too lightly. Easter, yes, but there are other significant occasions. Tomorrow is St. Andrew's Day, and it's appropriate that we should be considering those words from the first chapter of John's Gospel. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah," and he brought him to Jesus. There are a few other countries besides Scotland which have taken Andrew as their patron saint. And when we read these verses and the little that's mentioned of Andrew in the New Testament, we can see what it is that they find admirable in him. The first mention of Andrew in John's Gospel is significant. He's referred to as Simon Peter's brother, as though he had no distinguishing mark of his own. He's made known through his more distinguished brother, Peter. One outstanding feature of Andrew is that he was content to accept it that way. No pushing into the forefront for him. He was quite happy to serve as a disciple of Jesus and equally happy to be known and referred to as Simon Peter's brother. We ought to be grateful for the contribution made by what we may call background people. People like Andrew, people who may come to be known through their connection with someone else, someone more famous or outstanding, perhaps. In Dundee, a long time ago, there was a Christian gentleman who worked as caretaker of the YMCA halls in Constitution Road. Not many people ever knew or heard of him out with his own immediate circle, but he had a son. I don't know whether he had other children as well, but there was this one son in particular, a son called James, who in the course of time became a minister. He held charge in two congregations, both of which were regarded with high esteem, Beech Grove in Aberdeen and North Morningside in Edinburgh. He distinguished himself in those congregations, but it was clear that he was destined for the academic scene. He became a university lecturer and eventually professor of New Testament in New College in the University of Edinburgh. The church did him the honour of electing him as moderator of the General Assembly in 1963, and he discharged that office with modesty and distinction. James S. Stewart was one of the outstanding preachers of our time and one of the most self-effacing of men. On one occasion, arriving with his wife at a location in Edinburgh where he was to be the guest speaker, he parked his car half a mile away and walked from there to the meeting, avoided parking in the VIP parking places immediately outside the building. It never occurred to him that he was one of those VIP for whom the parking places were reserved. If anyone ever gave an outstanding example of following the patron saint of Scotland in being content to serve without thrusting himself forward, surely it was Professor Stewart. By contrast, we would have to say contrast with many a person who is in the public eye today. Since we in Scotland have taken Andrew as our patron saint, it's right and good that we should study his character and try to be like him in certain ways. It's appropriate that on this Sunday we should give him prominence in our meditation and in our worship. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. Everybody knows Peter. They maybe don't know Andrew, but this description helps to fix him in people's minds and establish who he is. There are two occasions mentioned in the Gospels which point to the kind of person Andrew was. Maybe there are more than two, but those two will serve to establish it in our mind. The occasion when Jesus went to heal the daughter of Jairus, the president of the synagogue. When he went into the room in the house where the girl was lying, he kept everyone outside and took with him only Peter, James, and John. The same thing happened when Jesus went up the mountain, where that event took place, which we commonly refer to as the Transfiguration. No Andrew, only Peter, James, and John. It would have been easy, it would have been natural for Andrew to have resented that. Wasn't he the first, after all, to become a disciple of Jesus? Wasn't it to his brother Andrew that Peter owed his own introduction to Jesus? Didn't that entitle Andrew to more consideration, a more prominent position among those 12 disciples? Many a man would have felt resentment and maybe left the company of Jesus there and then, but not Andrew. All he wanted was to be in Jesus' company and to serve in whatever way he could. So accepting Andrew as our patron saint means being ready to serve without gaining any position of prominence. That's not always easy to do, but the Lord helps us if we're really willing, if we really mean what we say when we accept him as Lord and promise to live our life the Christian way. But it means something else too. What Andrew most characteristically did was to bring other people to Jesus. The episode which we were reading today, he became the first disciple himself and he brought his brother Peter to Jesus. The episode of the feeding of the 5,000 on the hillside. The miracle would not have taken place without the contribution of the loaves and the fishes, a modest, humble contribution, hardly worth mentioning, one might say. The disciple Philip had already confessed to being overawed by the problem of finding food for all those people. But Andrew, although he was equally perplexed by the extent of the problem, brought forward the boy with the loaves and fishes. That started it all going. Jesus accepted the contribution, gave thanks for it, began to distribute it, and the miracle resulted. There was another occasion when some Greeks approached the disciple Philip, said they wanted to see Jesus, they wanted to meet him and get a chance to talk with him. Philip again on that occasion was grateful for the intervention of Andrew. Once again, so characteristically, Andrew brought those people to Jesus. I think we can clearly get the message of what kind of people we need to be true to the example of our patron saint. Be ready to serve and content with the humble position. And whenever we can and in whatever way we can, bring other people to Jesus. Well, I'm sure we do what we can. We pray that God will continue to provide us with more opportunities to serve him in those ways. One way in which we bring other people to Jesus, of course, is that we bring our children to him. Let the little children come to me, Jesus says. Don't try to stop them. The kingdom of heaven belongs to such as those. When we have parents bringing a child for baptism in the church, it's not only the parents who present the child. It's not only the parents who accept the responsibility of Christian upbringing and make the promises. The congregation too. All of us are responsible for the Christian upbringing of the children who are baptized here. What a lot there is for us to think about on this Sunday before St. Andrew's Day. May God help us to give it our best. And now to God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be all honour and glory, now and evermore. Amen. We worship God in presenting our offering. From CH3, hymn number 87, Be Thou My Vision, 87. Thank you. Let us pray. Almighty God, of whose own gifts alone we can give to you, since all that we have is yours, accept the offerings we humbly present, and grant that with them we may have grace to present ourselves a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, which is our reasonable service. We thank you, Lord, for the sending of your Son, Jesus Christ, into the world. We thank you that he came right into the human scene, not encumbered with material riches, not cluttered with worldly power or hampered with high position in a human sense, but humble and ordinary, endowed with your power and your spirit to lift the merely human to the divine, to lift the humble and ordinary to the glorious and perfect. As we approach the season when we especially remember his coming, grant that we may not be cluttered and hampered by the things of this world, the pressure of the world's life, the restrictions of economic circumstances, the emptiness of mere merrymaking for its own sake. Help us so to open our lives to the inflowing of your grace that we may express that inward joy which transcends the thoughts and feelings which come and go, which outstrips and outlasts the joy which comes from merely human things. We join with Scottish people the world over in giving thanks for the witness and example of our patron saint, your servant Andrew, the very first to become a disciple of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for all of life, for health and strength and recovery from illness, for work and leisure and the ability to serve you in everything, for the way in which all things work together for good to those who love you. Deepen our love for you and help us to express it more fully in the life of every day. We pray for your church, O God. May the church express your truth and be cleansed and rid of all that is impure. May it be more obviously one church, confessing one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all. We pray for the work in which the church is involved. Lord, you sent your Son into the world that all might live through him. Let the church feel the inflowing of your Spirit, that it may joyfully take the gospel everywhere. Let there always be those who will sacrifice themselves and their own concerns for the sake of the work of your kingdom. We pray for the nations of the world. May there be real peace among them. We ask your blessing on this dear land of Scotland and the United Kingdom of Nations, of which it continues to be part. Bless our Queen and the Royal House, those in authority and positions of leadership. May yours be the spirit which inspires our national life. We pray for those who are ill and those whose work is to tend them. As you sent Jesus Christ to be the Saviour and healer, help all physicians and nurses to have present in their minds his example. Let them express in their work his tenderness and sympathy with human suffering. We commend to your care all patients at home or in hospital. Soothe their pain, relieve their anxiety. Help them to cast their care upon you, their God. We pray for our own folk, Lord. Care for their needs and let them know the peace of your presence. We bring to you in prayer those who have wronged us or those with whom we find it difficult to get along. Forgive them, forgive us, bring us together into your heavenly kingdom. Almighty God, we thank you for those whose faith and patience have seen them through this earthly life and into your nearer presence. As they followed the Lord Jesus Christ, may we likewise follow in their steps. With all who, like the Apostle St. Andrew, have lived in your faith and fear, may we be gathered into your kingdom forever through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, world without end. Amen. You don't have copies of the leaflet today, friends. There are two items which were to have been in it, which I'll mentioned to you. The Kirk session will meet on Wednesday of next week. That's not this coming Wednesday, Wednesday the 9th of December in the church hall. And the Christmas gift service will be held in the church a fortnight from today, Sunday the 13th of December. Now, our closing hymn at this service comes not from CH4, but from Songs of God's People. And there it is, number 107, Through the Love of God Our Saviour. 107 in Songs of God's People. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all this day and forevermore.